Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The cornerback position, Rich, is probably the second most scrutinized position on the Texans' depth chart right now in the offseason.
I think that's pretty
fair to say.
Yes.
And maybe should be the most scrutinized position. As bad as the offensive line was, the cornerbacks in the secondary in the second half of the season, and more importantly, when they played good quarterbacks, got destroyed down the stretch.
Yeah, they did.
When they played even above average quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, I know the game was, you know, a prevent defense kind of game. Still threw for 400 yards in that game. Nick Foles tore them up for 400-something yards.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck tore them up for 400 yards a couple of times. And then even Eli Manning had a great game against the secondary early in the year.
A big part of the disappointment of the performance of that unit was two guys, and for different reasons. Aaron Colvin and Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
Big things were expected from Aaron Colvin and Kevin Johnson.
Those were your top two corners going into the year.
And neither guy delivered big things.
Well, in large part because for Kevin Johnson, he wasn't on the field.
Right.
But the problem with Kevin Johnson is that he's got a fifth-year option coming up for $9 million. Keep an eye on the calendar because early March is about the time that the Texans need to figure out what to do with Kevin Johnson.
Right.
And he's repeatedly concussed, so that's now an issue with him. Colvin, injuries got him off of the field, and injuries may have played a role in him not being as good as they expected him when he got back.
I'm suspect.
I am too, because he was completely inactive the last part of the year.
Yeah.
And a guy like Sharice Wright and Kayvon Webster, they are active. There's no question that of all the moves Brian Gain made, and we can dig into this more tomorrow. I'm doing a post for the Houston Press, Rich, about doing a report card on all of Brian Gain's moves the previous offseason so we can start to speculate about what he may be good or bad at this coming offseason. His only F for me is Aaron Colvin. That's an F. He gave him $18 million guaranteed, and he was injured, and when he was on the field, he wasn't very good. And one of the things that people were supposing with Aaron Colvin was that, yeah, you're not paying him upper-end cornerback money, $8 million a year, $8.5 million a year, something like that. Upper-end was Malcolm Butler and Trumaine Johnson, neither of whom were good for the teams they signed with, so you avoided that. But you were hoping, I think, with Colvin that, hey, maybe for this premium that we're not paying, we actually get a little versatility. The guy can play inside and outside. Turns out he can't play outside. He could barely play inside this year.
Yeah.
That's the only F for Brian Gain is the Aaron Colvin thing. But it's a little concerning that that's one of the huge positions of need for this team.
Yeah, and the Kevin, there's a decision to be made on Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
You mentioned the $9 million. There's no way you can pay Kevin Johnson $9 million in 2019.
No, I think...
You have to... At the very least, revise that contract.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something closer to... I think it's going to... Well, assuming he's back...
Because the concussion thing, it's very up in the air whether he's even going to continue playing football.
Yeah, I think that's... The only reason he wouldn't be back with the team in some fashion is if either... Yeah, either he's saying sayonara to football because of all the concussions, which is in play. He's had a lot of concussions. He had two right back-to-back at the beginning of the year, and it was bad enough to keep him on injured reserve all year. But to me, the only way he's not back with the team is, one, he retires because of concussions, or two, he rejects whatever contract revision they offered him. Because I do think they're going to go to him with something. He's a former first-round pick.
Yeah.
So they're going to try to salvage something out of this, but they're going to do it in a way where they're not going to be on the hook for $9 million guaranteed. They're not going to bring him back with even the remote chance that he could suck for them or be injured for them for $9 million next year. No chance.
I agree.
And so I think, and he's not dealing from a position of leverage in terms of his market value right now. His market value is at an all-time low. He's a frequently concussed bad football player right now. He's a great dude, and I think he's a really good teammate, and he's a guy who I think the Texans wish like hell would be good because you got a lot invested in him, and he's a guy that you feel like His physical attributes were good enough to be a first-round pick, and he's a good locker room guy. People love him. John Harris tells us about that, how much people love Kevin Johnson. I think they go to him with some sort of deal that's a one-year deal. Texans cap has a really good overview on this, and I agree with what Troy wrote.
That's what they need to do, for sure.
It's going to be one of those deals that has a lot of the game bonuses built into it. A base salary of maybe $1 million, $1.5 million, something like that, with the chance to earn another few million in being on the active roster. And then if he's able to survive that, he plays well, he earns most of those game bonuses because the concussions aren't an issue anymore. It's basically just a cheaper version of the fifth-year option with a lot less risk built in for the Texans.
Yeah, you can't pay a guy $9 million who's been unavailable. And we've,
not good.
We talked about O'Brien and how big he is on availability.
Mm-hmm.
His unavailability is a big reason why we had to endure Sharice Wright in one-on-one situations repeatedly. That didn't go well.
Yeah, Sharice Wright getting hit repeatedly with the sluggo route was a really, really bad theme in the last month of the season.
Yeah. And look, Johnson Batamosi is a fine special teams player.
I don't even count him as a cornerback.
But he's not who you want out there.
I don't even count him as a cornerback. To me, Batamosi he's the priciest of the group of guys that I give Brian Gaine an A for this. He went out and found a group of about a half dozen guys who just play special teams.
That's one of the most,
team.
Maybe the most improved area on this team in 2018.
It's certainly one of the A moves that Brian Gaine made. And to me, it's like a five or six headed move of Batamosi and Buddy Howell and AJ Moore, Mike Tyson, Joe Webb. Guys who just run down and take pride in being special teamers. If Johnson Batamosi is getting on the field for you at corner, times are bad.
Yes, they are.
Times are really, really bad. But so I think when this team starts in on OTAs after the draft, mini camps, things like that, if I'm betting Kevin Johnson is back in some fashion, under some deal. Would you agree with that or disagree with that?
I would agree with that, yes. But they have to go after some cornerbacks because they, for many reasons, including... You got to put Kareem Jackson back at safety. If he's back.
Yeah.
If he's back, you can't rely on him to fill in at cornerback anymore. Those days are over.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, Rich, I don't think he's going to be back. And here's why. Justin Reed is obviously one of your starting safeties. Tyrann Mathieu was a guy who was, it was cool. You hadn't drafted Justin Reed yet, so when you brought Tyrann Mathieu in, you thought Kareem Jackson and Tyrann Mathieu are going to be our two safeties, and it's okay, we'll pay it, whatever. But then you draft Justin Reed because he's clearly the best player available. I don't know that you can bring Kareem Jackson back, unless Kareem Jackson's ready to play for less than Tyrann Mathieu's making.
If he takes a Jonathan Joseph type deal.
Yeah, and even then, are you going to pay $5-6 million for your third safety?
Maybe not, especially when Andre Howell is a viable option.
That's a great point. And look, I'm somebody who thinks Kareem Jackson, you and I have debated Kareem Jackson and Tyrann Mathieu, and I would be cool with either of them being back. It's not an issue I feel strongly one way or the other about, but I think the red flag with Kareem Jackson, obviously his age, he's 4 or 5 years older than Tyrann Mathieu.
Right.
And down the stretch, he did revert back to some of his Kareem Jackson ways.
He kind of did.
If I had to bet, I would bet Kareem's probably not back. And he's certainly not coming back as a corner. So as we're looking at the corner depth chart, Kevin Johnson probably back on a team-friendly deal. Jonathan Joseph will be back for what I would imagine maybe his swan song. It's the second of the two-year deal he signed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$5 million. Aaron Colvin's going to be back because it's more expensive to cut Aaron Colvin than it is to keep Aaron Colvin.
Right.
And then after that, you've got a depth chart that you've got to fill at cornerback. My guess is they're going to use one of those top three picks they have, first round pick or two second round picks on a corner.
Absolutely.
I would think they need to. So this article that Troy put up on Texans Cap has a bunch of interesting names in it. I don't know if you've looked at some of the names on here, Rich. And I don't know that there's any that are going to get as pricey on this list as Trumaine Johnson or Malcolm Butler did last year.
Okay.
I think the lesson we learned last year is that truly great corners rarely hit the open market, which is what makes A.J. Boye not getting franchise tagged a year or so ago even more painful.
Yeah, no
He's
kidding.
Clearly an upper-end cornerback that you had control over for at least another year, but that's neither here nor there. But Johnson and Butler were the two high-end guys in this past free agency class, and my guess is both teams severely regret paying them that money, the Jets and the Titans.
I don't think there's any question.
Some of the names that are interesting on here to me are, there's two names of guys who are injured, who finished the year injured, that you may be able to get on the cheap a little bit. Ronald Darby, who was an upper-end cornerback for the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, just the thought of bringing in a guy still on the mend from an ACL is not very appealing.
And the Texans may feel a little bit of the burn factor from Kayvon Webster and putting him out on the field, losing him two plays in, and then putting him back out on the field and losing him like five plays in.
Right.
And then there's Jason Verrett of the Chargers, a former first-round pick, went to TCU. He's from here in Texas. He's missed 31 of the last 32 games. So I could see where there would be some gun-shy, a bit of being gun-shy. But if he's someone whose only options are low-level, one-year, prove-it-to-me kind of deals, you know, Troy puts in this post here, 1 year, maybe $2.5-3 million, I would take a flyer on that with Jason Verrett on the off chance that he might be able to stay healthy.
Yeah, as long as it's not too much guaranteed money.
The veterans that may be out on the open market that he floated in here, there's some interesting names. He has Darby in here. Pierre Desir, he's not a veteran. He's a younger player, but that would be a way to kind of hurt the Colts while helping yourself. Steven Nelson, Kansas City, he mentions Verrett. Possible cap casualties. Jimmy Smith with the Baltimore Ravens.
How old is he now?
He came into the league, I want to say, in 2014 or 2013.
Okay, as old as I thought.
He's not, and he's been a guy with the Ravens. Now, he was suspended for the first four games of this season and never really got on track. He had been a guy, though, Rich, who was a lot like Sean Lee with the Cowboys, where the Ravens' performance with Jimmy Smith on the field versus off the field was the difference between an elite defense and a mediocre defense. He's 30 years old. So I forget what year he was drafted, but he's 30 now. So he's at the older end. Aqib Talib doesn't vibe as a Texan for me very much. I don't know that, he's an older player. He's going to be 33.
Yeah.
He was injured a lot this year as well.
Yeah, I want younger guys.
Okay, well, none of these guys are going to be younger guys. Josh Norman.
Well, younger than 33.
Yeah, Josh Norman, who, again, he's a guy who I don't know vibes as a Bill O'Brien kind of guy for me. Bit of a loudmouth. Bit of a me guy, Josh Norman.
For sure.
Janoris Jenkins is an interesting one. Got a big contract with the Giants. We interviewed him at Radio Row when Radio Row was here. He's a guy who came into the league with a ton of character issues. He was a first-round talent who was a second-round draft pick. But he's an interesting one, and he's one that Troy says, Janoris Jenkins, he thinks, would command a three-year deal worth $22.5 million. I don't know what the Giants think of Janoris Jenkins. He didn't have a very good year this past year. Allowed a pretty high QB rating when he was defending guys.
Right.
I just don't know what the market's going to look like. I don't know that a solution at the upper end, if you want a veteran guy, it may be a guy like Janoris Jenkins on a cheaper deal.
I mean, like you said, Sean, they're definitely going to draft at least one guy, but I also feel like it's almost imperative that they bring in someone who's been there and done that as well. And that's a gigantic decision this offseason, especially in light of what you mentioned, the failure of the Aaron Colvin signing to this point. I mean, you know, best case scenario, he turns it around in 2019. But after 1 year, that was a huge mistake.
Yeah, I read this post and I'm like,
can't make that same mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the list of names on here and I'm about as enthusiastic about this position getting fixed in 2019 as I am the offensive line, which is not all that enthusiastic.
Yeah, there's nobody that jumps off the page.
No, I mean, I think the solution to both areas is going to be finding a younger player who can be a foundational piece. At the cornerback position, it's going to be finding a guy you thought Kevin Johnson was going to be for you 2 years ago when he was actually still playing pretty good football before he broke his foot.
I'm intrigued by Darby because he, when healthy, is the closest thing maybe on this list to a guy who's a true number one. But the last 2 years, he's missed a lot of games.
Yeah, and you know his story.
Yeah, I know.
Jameis Winston's designated liar.
I'm not going to hold that against him, as dumbass as that was.
You just think he's a good friend. You would argue he's a good teammate.
There you go.
Can you imagine O'Brien explaining it to me? Look, we feel Ronald Darby's a good teammate. I don't know if you guys noticed, but he lied for Jameis Winston at Florida State and once he was in the NFL for groping an Uber driver.
Yeah,
he's a great guy and a good teammate. I don't think O'Brien would say that.
No.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.